It's time to talk about Felix, the pet insurance brand made just for cats. Starting at under $1 a day, you can get whisker-to-tail protection with a plan as unique as your cat. Sorry, dogs. This customizable coverage is exclusively for feline friends. Learn more at felixcatinsurance.com. That's felixcatinsurance.com. Get it? Meow.
Insurance is underwritten by Independence American Insurance Company and produced by Independence Pet Group. Pre-existing conditions are not covered. Visit felixcatinsurance.com/terms for all terms and limitations.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
Can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
I always learn something when our friend Jerry Palm joins us, and he's been with CBS Sports... Well, I mean, I met him, and we were already employees of the same company. So how long, Jerry, have you been with the company?
2011, full-time.
There you go. Look at you.
So what's that, 12 years?
It's a long time. Yeah, we're about to celebrate our 11th anniversary. So, yes, you just beat us by a hair. Let's talk about the latest from the college football playoff rankings. Georgia leapfrogs Ohio State. Not a surprise given the last 2 weeks. But how close are these two teams at the top?
Oh, they're still pretty close. Georgia's picked up two high-ranking wins in Missouri and Mississippi in the last 2 weeks. And those were their first two quality wins of the season. Ohio State already had a couple. Their big one is that, you know, they beat Penn State, and now they had a win earlier at Notre Dame. Notre Dame's loss to Clemson a couple weeks ago actually hurt Ohio State because that win doesn't look quite as good now. Mm. It's still a good win, but it doesn't look quite as good now as it did before that. So it's really hair splitting between those two, but Georgia's wins are better. And I think that that's, in the end, what put them over the top.
What if, you know, I love what ifs, what if both these teams went out, meaning Ohio State beats Michigan and has a top three victory, then how does that transpire? How does that affect the final rankings?
It could put Ohio State back on top, but, you know, that's not, of course, the only game, because they each play.
Right.
You know, Georgia will play Alabama, and
right.
That's another – I mean, that's number eight. Well, that's a really good team. Georgia also has, I think, Georgia Tech still. Ohio State's got Maryland, I think, before that. So, you know, a couple of games that they should win pretty easily. And then, of course, their the championship game. So for Georgia, that's the Alabama game. For Ohio State, it would be Iowa. And Iowa's a team in the rankings. So it could be pretty close for number one – the rest of the season if those two teams continue to win.
When we're thinking about these top five, then the teams that are undefeated, how much separation from Georgia to Ohio State and on down through the rest of that crew?
Yeah, it feels like the committee has been relatively soft on Michigan, and just because their schedule, they just don't really respect Michigan's schedule, not just, you know, the Big Ten portion of their schedule, because the Big Ten is really divided. You know, you've got Michigan, Ohio State, and then a gap to Penn State, and then a big gap to everyone else, which includes Iowa. And I don't think the committee really has a lot of respect for Michigan's schedule, because they didn't play a good non-conference schedule, and they've only played Penn State so far among the better teams in the league. They didn't even get Iowa in conference. So Michigan's had a hard time getting above three. And then, but Florida State and Washington are two really different teams. Florida State does not have a very good schedule, but they did beat LSU. They beat them pretty soundly.
Mm-hmm.
That's their one good win. And then Washington's, you know, playing Pac-12 teams every week. So they've got, I think, three ranked wins now, two in back in the last 2 weeks, and they can't seem to get over the hump. And it's because of margin of victory. This committee seems to be rewarding big scoring margins more than other committees have in the past. And Florida State has won, for the most part, pretty big. And Washington has been barely getting by some of their games, you know, one single-digit wins, you know, I think half of them. And they're just, you know, they're not blowing people out, but they're beating better teams. And I think in the past, the margin of victory of Florida State's games would not have as much impact as they seem to this year.
Do you like that move with this current committee?
Really.
You don't?
No, not really. I think they should emphasize more the quality of the opposition. I don't think you can ignore it because it's football and you only have 12 games and you don't. It's not like basketball where everybody's playing three times as many games as that, and basketball margins are kind of weird because of the way the games end with free throws and stuff like that. They can be deceptive, so you definitely should not be using it in basketball. But I think they should use it less in football. I think that when you're stacking the quality wins that Washington is, I think that should be rewarded.
Jerry Palm is with us early morning. I can't keep up with his hours. You think ours are strange and odd. This time of the year, you've got both football and basketball, and so I know you're sometimes up late and then you wake early. So we're glad that we could spend a few minutes with you, and he does the college football playoff committee analysis, but also does the same for March Madness and has all those brackets on CBSSports.com. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So, Jerry, then, when you look at teams behind this group, who has the best potential to be able to make a sizable leap and get into the top four based on what they still have to come?
Yeah, well, Oregon is the highest rated one loss team. Their loss came at Washington, 3-point game, and they get to play probably Washington again in a Pac-12 championship game if both those teams win out. So you'd have to like their chances as a one loss team. You would like Texas as well. Texas has got the best win anybody has, and that will probably still be true at the end, and that is the win at Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
So unless Ohio State wins at Michigan, that's probably going to be the best win anybody has all year, and that is really Texas is being rewarded for that. You know, they've been ahead of Alabama all the way, and if, you know, Alabama beats Georgia and Texas wins out, Texas is probably still going to be ahead of Alabama. So, you know, those two teams among the one-loss teams are really in the best shape to try and make a push to get into the Final Four.
Anything about the rankings to this point that make you scratch your head that you don't agree with?
Well, yeah, there are a couple of things. I mean, I already talked about how, like, margin of victory is impacted. A couple of the rankings where, you know, like, I think Washington should be ahead of Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that perhaps Missouri, you know, which has had had a big win over Tennessee, jumped way up past just about everybody. In fact, even one loss Louisville to number 9 this week on a strength of a 20-some point win over Tennessee. And I just felt like that was an overreaction. Although I'm glad to see Missouri among this group of teams because that's a name you don't often see.
Right.
They could end up in a New Year's Six Bowl, and that's, you know, they've got a good program, but you don't often see them in this high a cotton. So it's fun to see a team like that up there. But I think that's another team where perhaps, you know, the committee overreacted to one game.
Moving forward, Jerry, how much, and we can use this current year as a model, how much would it look different if this was an expanded playoff? Will the committee treat it differently when it's an expanded playoff?
I don't think so, because the process for ranking the teams doesn't change once you go past four. You know, they're ranking 25, and, you know, the process is the same. The criteria is the same. Obviously, the teams are different, and what's good and bad about them is different the further you go down. But I don't think they need to change anything. What's going to change is how many teams they end up putting in a bracket and where they go. So, but no, I don't think it really changes much for the committee in terms of how they evaluate teams once we get into a 12-team playoff.
Right now, it's mostly big-time schools you know, the major conferences, the Power Five, so to speak. How much do you think that's volatile once the playoff expands?
That'll be interesting to see. I mean, you have to. I think it's hard for the Tulanes of the world to try and get the kind of games that they need to push much higher in the rankings. But the nice thing about the 12-team playoff is there will be at least one in the playoff every year, because they're going to take, it looks like they'll probably do with the demise of the Pac-12, they're going to have the top five conference champions automatically in, the top five in the rankings, and then seven at-large teams. And that's going to guarantee one spot, at least for a group of five team in the playoff every year. And that's something they don't have now. So it's going to be better for them, but it's not necessarily going to be easier to put more than one team in, because it's hard for them to get the kinds of games they need to get the committee's attention.
Jerry Palm is with us here after hours, CBS Sports Radio. What's your reaction to the Jimbo Fisher situation where Texas A&M letting him go and having to pay, through the nose for him?
Well, you know, if you're going to sign a contract that's really got that kind of, I'm going to just say, stupid money in it.
Monopoly money?
Why did you sign him to that kind of a deal to begin with? I mean, did they really need to? Couldn't they got him for a little less? But the buyouts in some of these contracts are crazy. And, if it doesn't work out, it ties your hand. That it's not just Texas A&M, paying a lot of money, because it's all relative. You know, Indiana, for example, there's a lot of talk that maybe Tom Allen won't survive this season. But he's got a relatively large buyout for a place like Indiana, and they may not want to pay it. So, that's kind of the thing in these contracts now, is that the coaches are getting these big buyouts, and it makes it harder to cut ties if, in fact, it's not working out. So, A&M, I guess, they got all a ton of money down there, apparently.
Right.
So they're going to pay. And counting like all the assistants and stuff, I think I saw it's going to be $125 million. They're going to be paying people to not coach at Texas A&M anymore. And that's just great. I mean, how much are you going to be able to spend on a new guy? I guess, I don't know. They must just be printing money down there.
Seriously. Okay, so you know me because we're friends. I laugh at inappropriate times. Let's hope that doesn't happen while I'm doing my wedding vows in a month. But sometimes when I get nervous, I laugh at. But I also just laugh when it's just not. It's not the right thing to do. I'll just confess that when I saw the ruling from the judge about Oregon State and Washington State, I did actually giggle a little bit, because they now have sole control over the Pac-12 board of directors. Just the two schools. It's all them. It's all people from those two schools. First of all, what does it even mean? I don't understand how those two schools can. Yeah, I don't get it. Are they still a conference, or are they not?
They want to be. Yeah, there's some value in the Pac-12, name. And keeping that entity alive, because they have NCAA tournament units, and there's a fair amount of money in that. And they also have debt. They have a $50 million debt owed to Comcast. The whole mismanagement of that league is just, it's sad. I think it's fair that those two should have the control going forward, because they're the only ones left, and they're trying to salvage something here. But the whole thing it frustrates me to see, that conference just gone like this. And as a Big Ten guy, I'm a little disappointed in our league for being the one that kind of stuck the final knife in by grabbing Oregon and Washington, because we've had a good relationship with that league, strong relationship with that league for 100 years, and just, it's just that the disappearance of the Pac-12 is something I find frustrating.
Mm. So if they end up inviting member schools, it's kind of a tough situation, or new members, I should say, a tough situation to walk into, because you're assuming all that debt. There's no legit TV package. I mean, I'm not sure. I know there are a lot of mid-majors, but that's a tough situation. Why would another school want to walk into that?
Yeah, I think that they're going to have to. I think they're going to try and do something with the Mountain West, where the name still exist. They could maybe even be still considered a major conference, although I kind of doubt it. But you know, those assets of the what's left of the Pac-12 and the Mountain West could be combined in some way to create a viable league that's better for both of them. But you know, I'm not a lawyer or an accountant, so you know, I don't know how all of that's going to work. But I think that's the longer term game plan. But they've got to have control of the name of the league. They have to have control of the league in order to be able to even start approaching things like that.
As the world turns, he may not be an accountant or an attorney, but he is a damn good analyst for college football playoff committee rankings, plus March Madness. I mean, it's already on his brain, even though it's November, but it'll be here before you know it. So find him on Twitter at JP Palm CBS. He calls himself a geek, but I mean, that's an affectionate term. Well, I call myself a nerd.
My degree is computer science. So, yeah.
Well, right. But I tell people being a nerd is also a huge compliment. So we are in the same boat there. Thank you for a couple of minutes. Good morning to you. And we'll find your stuff on CBSSports.com, Jer.
All right. Thanks. Nice talking to you.
Walk the dogs, school drop-off, meetings from 10 to 3, take kids to soccer, then no time left for a jog.
When everyone else is relying on you, it's easy to put your needs last. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online, so you can show up for yourself the way you do for others. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. Parents can send instant money transfers, automate allowance, and more. Plus, keep an eye on spending with real-time notifications. Join more than 6 million families building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey. That's greenlight.com/odyssey.
Ew, gotta get rid of this old Backstreet Boys t-shirt.
Tell me why.
Because it stinks, boys.
Tell me why.
I've washed it so many times, but the odor won't come out.
Tell me why.
No, you tell me why I can't get rid of this odor.
Have you tried Downy Rinse and Refresh? It doesn't just cover up odors. It helps remove them.
Wow, it worked, guys.
Yeah.
Downy Rinse and Refresh removes more odor in one wash than the leading value detergent in three washes. Find it wherever you buy laundry products.